Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And we continue now at 9:37. It's Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. So what's new with you, Kevin?
Hi, Dean. How are you?
I'm much better than when I texted you 2 weeks ago. Yeah. That's for sure.
Glad to hear.
How crazy. It's the whole moral to the story for me is you cannot be careful enough.
Yep.
Because I sure thought I was being careful enough.
Yeah, you probably were the role model. I mean, you think about everything that you have done, and still, somehow, this sneaky little virus got into you. So that's probably just a really good warning for everybody who's kind of getting a little complacent or kind of getting mask fatigue. You're the poster child. I mean, as far as how well you protected yourself, how much you spoke about it, and yet it hits you. So it's a warning shot across the bow for all of us.
Yeah, that's. I think that's the takeaway, really, out of all of this. A question that Elton Jim brought up in the last half hour, and that I've been wondering for the last couple of weeks: if I was first showing symptoms 2 weeks ago today, when might I have likely been infected? Was it a few days? Was it a couple of weeks? How does that work?
Yeah, when you go from when you had symptoms, and this is the unusual thing about this illness, in the classic people that are going to be quote-unquote pre-symptomatic, you probably got that 2 to 5 days prior. But we have to remember that a lot of people had this illness and were asymptomatic through the entire thing, didn't even know they had it until they got a blood test for antibodies. But those who usually are going to be have symptoms, it's usually you're infected 2 to 5 days before the symptoms start. So yeah, you could look back today, 2 weeks ago and say, okay, where was I the 5 days before that? What did
right.
I do?
Yep.
Was I around anybody? Did I grocery shop? You know, all those things.
Yeah, that's all I've been doing for the last 2 weeks, trying to figure that out, contacting everybody that I've come in contact with during that time. And, lucky me, I'm the only one that got sick.
Yeah,
everybody else was okay. So it had to have come from some public place that I was in, I have to think. And once again, I'm going to guess probably because even though I was wearing my mask, that doesn't protect me from you if you're not wearing a mask. Am I correct on that?
Correct. And your course of illness and your whole story just, again, reinforces the importance of us masking. Here you are, you had the illness. So you, for 2 to 5 days, you probably had this illness and were shedding virus. But because you were so staunch about wearing the mask, you didn't spread it to all the other people that you now have said, hey, I was in contact with you. You should be, concerned and be checked. It just, again, reinforces that wearing the mask protects others around us if we happen to be the one with symptoms or with asymptomatic carriers.
Yeah. The mask wearing, the social distancing, which people are still not doing. Everybody, and I'm going to put myself into this category too. I mean, I social distance all the time. Occasionally, somebody comes up on you and you don't realize it, and you got to move away a little bit, or you come up on somebody and you don't realize it, and you got to back off a little bit. That's part of it, but also the constant hand washing. This is one where I'm going to say guilty, where I did get a little bit lax with the nonstop hand washing that I was doing at the beginning of the pandemic, the nonstop hand sanitizer that I was doing at the beginning of it all, wearing gloves in places that I was doing in the beginning, all of those things I laxed off on.
Yeah. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that around. And especially with the holidays, there's more people in stores. There's more people at the mall. There's, so we are we are in a possible place right now where we're going to start to see some slips, and we certainly can't do it. I mean, you see the numbers every day, you know, what they tell us, the number of, 130 deaths yesterday in Illinois.
Yeah, and the numbers are worse than they are at the beginning of the pandemic. Yep. If anything, we should be more careful now than we were at the beginning of the pandemic.
Exactly.
There is a greater chance now, take it from me, that you're going to get something now than at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, 100%. And when you see, if you remember the beginning of the pandemic, we were talking about positivity rates of 4% and hospitals that were stressed but not really stressed fully. You know, now look at us. We're talking about positivity rates of 10%, and we're talking about hospitals that are pushed to the max right now. And that's with us knowing everything we've learned over the last 6 months, how to treat this illness. You have to remember, in the spring, we didn't have any game book. We didn't know about remdesivir. We didn't know the impact of dexamethasone, about putting people on their stomach and putting them on high-flow oxygen instead of intubating them. All of those things we've learned, and yet we're still seeing the impact that we're seeing right now in the hospitals, should really get everyone's attention.
So, a question that I have right now, with all the news being that the first Pfizer immunizations are going out today by the truckload, do I get immunized, or am I free from that now that I've had it?
Well, you get what we call the 90-day pass. So right now what we're doing is, anybody who's had the illness recently, we're asking them to wait 90 days. Now, so for the general public, it really isn't going to make that much of an impact. But right now, for caregivers, any nurses or physicians that have had the illness and tested positive, and we know because we're tracking their antibodies, we're asking them to wait and take a dose a little bit later, and let those that have no natural immunity get that vaccine right now. So you're actually probably in a pretty sweet spot, because if you look at January, February, March, we're talking about general vaccinations. Hopefully, if everything goes smoothly in April or May, you are in a pretty sweet spot that you've just gotten over this recently and should have immunity all the way up until the time that the vaccine is going to be available for the general public.
Yeah, people at high risk now, the caregivers, the elderly, those are the number one priorities for right now. Do I get tested again now that my quarantine time is over? I was told not to.
No, you really don't need to now. And, your quarantine time is over. And people say, well, why wouldn't we? Well, we know that you're not shedding anymore for the most part. And also, as you can see on the number of tests, we're starting to stress that testing system again. The importance of getting results back in just a couple days is important. But as we stress that system, we start to get reports back day 7, day 8, day 9. And when that happens, then the damage has been done by the time the results come back. So in the hospital, we still have great turnaround time with testing. But unfortunately, in the commercial world, with the Quest and the LabCorps, they've been stressed to a point where their turnaround time now is a couple of days, or 5 days, in some cases 6 days, when it used to be, 48 hours.
Yeah. What about being around people who are also positive right now? If you're positive or have been positive, are you safe to be around people who are testing positive or have been positive?
Well, you're much safer, obviously, because your immune system, especially in someone like you that went through this illness and came through in flying colors on the other end, your immune system is strong and you now essentially have immunity. The thing that we don't know is, can you continue to spread if you were to get reinfected? So that would be, I still feel fine, but is the virus now sitting in the back of your throat or in the back of your nose and replicating, but really not giving you any symptoms? That's the part that we really need to get our arms around, because that's also going to be the million-dollar question of, after we vaccinate everybody, at what point can we stop wearing masks?
So are you saying that this virus can actually hide?
Oh, yeah. So that's the biggest concern right now. We know it can hide, right? Look at the number of asymptomatic people that we have. In other words, the virus is there.
Even after it begins to replicate and affects you physically, it can still hide. It doesn't necessarily stop once it infects you, right?
No, well, once it infects you and you get over the infection, the question now is, if you were to get reinfected, So really, after you've been infected and you've gotten through the illness, you should be fine. You should be clear. You should have immunity. You should have natural immunity. Now, let's say 2 months later you get exposed. Will your body keep you from having symptoms? In other words, does it protect you from infection, or does it just protect you from symptoms? So COVID-vaccinated people and COVID and people with COVID natural immunity may still carry the virus but not get symptoms. That's what we need to know from both the vaccine studies as well as the natural immunity studies. And AstraZeneca looked at it, and it looked very promising from AstraZeneca. Pfizer and Moderna did not study that because of the way that they blinded their study.
You know what's amazing to me, Kevin, is the different ways that people react to testing positive. I was very fortunate that mine was mild. We hear stories every single day, these horrible, tragic stories that end in death. I must have heard 10 different scenarios of how the symptoms that people have, the severity. This is not, as some conspiracy theorists on my social media are telling me, that I didn't have COVID-19. I just had the flu. That this is not the flu. I guarantee you that this is not the flu. But the difference in the way that people are reacting to this is rather amazing to me.
Oh, this is one virus that really, obviously it caught us off guard, but it's actually interesting as we're learning more and more about it, right? When you get influenza, it's going to stay in your upper respiratory tract and into your lower respiratory tract and cause pneumonia. But this little guy decides he's going to get into your kidneys, he's going to get into your liver, he can get into your brain, he can get into your nerves that cause loss of sense or smell. So this little guy decides he can go more places than what the typical influenza virus does. We don't see this with influenza. Influenza is pretty classic for us, that we know it's going to stay, and our biggest concern, obviously, is going to be pneumonia and getting them through pneumonia. But we're not looking at, okay, wait, what about renal disease? What about blood clots? What about all the things that COVID has done way beyond what we see with influenza? So, the conspiracy people out there, I can assure you, this is not an influenza.
Sometimes I get a good feeling. 9:53, yeah. Dean Richards back, 720 WGN, with Dr. Kevin Most, Central DuPage Hospital. And Kevin, on this morning, maybe it's the first time we've had any good news about COVID-19, and that is the beginning of the distribution of the Pfizer immunization. What does that mean to Chicago area residents?
Yeah, Dean, for the residents, it'll make an impact just because it's going to allow us to protect the healthcare worker workforce right now. So we plan on getting vaccines sometime either Monday, Tuesday of this week. And I can tell you that every hospital, at least every hospital in DuPage County that I talk with frequently, we are well prepared. A few of us have ultra cold storage, so we're going to be working in teamwork with the other hospitals that don't have the ability to keep it frozen, and then really working on now the logistics of how do we get this vaccinated as quickly as possible as we can and as safely as possible. And when I say safely, we know it's a safe vaccine from the study, but we also know that there are some side effects. So we want to make sure that we don't immunize the entire emergency department in one day and then have some of them out the next day because of side effects. So it's definitely a logistical challenge, but it's something that we have. We have the rooms all set up. We have done mock walkthroughs, and we're prepared.
Do people need to apply for this? How does one know if they might be eligible to be among the first to get the vaccine?
Yeah, so the first to get the vaccine are obviously going to go to healthcare workers and then to long-term care facilities. The long-term care facilities are going to be distributed by CVS and Walgreens, where those pharmacies will go into the nursing homes and skilled nursing facilities and vaccinate not only the patients, but also the workers. And then the hospitals are going to be responsible to take care and stratify their workforce. So what we do here at Northwestern is we say, are you frontline working with COVID patients? That's question one. Question two, do you have any health vulnerabilities that would make you higher at risk? And then that is what we are using to say, okay, here's the first wave. We're not going to get enough to do everybody at once, but let's make sure that the first wave really hits those that have an impact. So, and we know everyone looks at this as, you know, it's very exciting news, but we all have to realize this is a marathon. We're going to be getting vaccine every couple weeks now for the next few months. The first doses are obviously very exciting, but we want to make sure that we do it properly and in the right fashion to protect the people that have the biggest impact, and then get down to the people with the general public probably in April or May, where we've already protected the healthcare workers so that the hospitals can continue to function.
The 815 area code texts Kevin saying, ask Dr. Most if it's possible that Dean caught COVID during Thanksgiving celebration that he spent with six other members of his family. Dean mentioned that he couldn't have gotten it from his family because nobody else got sick, but is it possible that those people were asymptomatic? Would be a great public service to discuss this because Christmas is coming up, and I agree with that. I don't know if you heard me talk about this, that there were seven of us. We were easily 6 feet away from each other. Seven of us sat at a table that normally seats 35 people. Everybody had a mask on. There was zero physical contact with anybody except when we were eating, but still we were 6 feet away. Is that a possibility, Kevin?
It is. It's definitely a possibility. You know, we love that 6 to 8 feet distance. But then again, if you're talking, you're talking loudly or you're making a point, certainly those particles we know can travel a little bit further. And we like to use that 15-minute time frame as well. So a lot of people that sit down for Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas activities, although they may keep that 6 to 8 feet thing, they may be there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour, and sometimes with the masks off. So certainly I would hope that everyone understands that we did get this Thanksgiving bump, and the concern about Christmas is certainly there as well with all of us, as well as followed up by New Year's. This is not a year to have New Year's party, because we also look and notice that the amount of alcohol has an inverse proportion to the amount of time a mask is worn. So we know that after a couple of drinks, and we've seen it in bars and we've seen it at smaller parties, that the masks seem to come off, and we just need to be more careful.
Yeah. Now, even though my family have zero symptoms now for 2 weeks, I check with them every day to make sure that, you know, everybody's okay. Still possible?
No, probably not right now. Your family, if they've gone this long after an exposure, we used to take 14 days after an exposure. Now the CDC has actually even moved it down to 10 as we're starting to look at more people. So we're certainly well past that time frame and should not have a concern at all.
All right. Well, Kevin, thank you for the information today. Thank you. I got to tell everybody, Kevin Most, sending me texts during the time that I was off, checking on me, telling me what to do. There is not a better guy than Dr. Kevin Most. And once again, I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Glad to hear you back, and glad you're on this side and still being a great advocate for what we all need to do. So I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital.